In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thank you so much for joining us, and happy Friday, everybody. Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I'm a tech reporter. And my favorite piece of queer pop culture is actually a character. It's Captain Raymond Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because that's a show I'm obsessed with lately. Also, shout out to Kevin.
And I'm Brian Truitt, film critic and entertainment writer. And my current favorite piece of queer pop culture is Love, Simon, which is one of the best films so far this year.
And I'm Kelly Lawler, entertainment writer, and my favorite queer piece of pop culture will always and forever be But I'm a Cheerleader.
If you're new to the show, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership come out every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts to have episodes delivered straight to your phone. We love hearing your thoughts and your ideas for the show, so while you're on Apple Podcasts, why not leave us a rating or a review? We'll give you a shout-out if you do. Also, if you get in touch with us on Twitter, we're at MothershipPod. You can also email us at mothershippod@usatoday.com. One last thing before we get started. Kelly, you have an exciting new project to talk about. Please do. Tell us all.
Hi. Yeah. So I talk about TV on this podcast a lot. And now I'm talking about TV on your Facebook feed. We have started a new Facebook group for USA Today called Yes, I'm Still Watching, which is all about television, new television, old television, streaming, anything you want to talk about. It's a lot like the forums of old. So all you nerds probably are well-versed in forum culture. And we would love for all of you to join and come talk. We're doing recommendations. We're doing polls about who's your favorite Golden Girl and all sorts of stuff. So please come join us. You can search Yes, I'm Still Watching on Facebook and you'll find us.
If your answer's not Rose, we have a lot of problems. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, I like Dorothy.
Okay, on to the main topic. Pride Month comes to a close this week. LGBTQ inclusion and representation is getting more attention within the pop culture space, especially when it comes to stuff like comic books and superheroes. So this week, we're going to talk a lot about that. We have a very special guest joining us. Mariko Tamaki is an artist and writer from Canada. She's done a lot of graphic novels, such as the award-winning coming-of-age story This One Summer. She's written middle-grade Lumberjanes novels. She's tackled DC and Marvel heroes from She-Hulk to Supergirl. And she's got a new series coming up on X-23 for Marvel and the 2019 graphic novels Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me and DC's Harley Quinn Breaking Glass. So Mariko is very, very busy. Before we get into the bigger picture stuff about representation and how that is looking in comics, we want to talk about you and your career.
Okay.
When did you first fall in love with comic books?
I had a very light relationship with comics throughout my teen years, and that they were sort of there, but it wasn't like my main gig. I was more of sort of a budding Canadian literary nerd than I was a comic book person. And I truly didn't get into comics until my 20s and 30s. And then I became like vaguely obsessed with them after that, which is really a time. I mean, there's never a bad time to get obsessed with comics, but I feel like my time, like every person, it's like the best time. The time that it sort of took over a larger section of my life was in like when my first graphic novel came out, like 2008.
Do you have a favorite hero or issue that you always like keep coming back to?
I'm pleased that it keeps changing. I have read G. Willow Wilson's Ms. Marvel many times, and also am relatively obsessed with Hawkeye. Just in terms of the sort of like MacGyver-ness of that comic, I really, really enjoy. And so those are definitely ones I've read many times.
You do write a lot of stories aimed at kids and teens, especially in your graphic novels. What is it like writing for young people? And do you find them, you know, kind of naturally attuned to them?
I mean, writing for young people is kind of like writing for old people. I don't really think there's that much of a difference. It's just like it's like who you're writing about versus who you're writing for. I mean, as fans, obviously, they're slightly different. Teens are much more polite than adult fans. But I am really interested in the period of adolescence, or I have been for a very long time, because I think the idea of identity being a very explicit choice or something that you're figuring out is much more solvable when you're a teenager versus when you're an adult, when everything is supposed to be just sort of obvious.
Do you find that comics are a really good medium for writing about adolescence?
I mean, comics are a really good medium for writing about just about everything. I do think the thing that I like about comics is that it allows for a little bit of, like, the removing of a bit of a sort of expository language that sometimes you need in novels, like where you have to sort of explain how someone is feeling as opposed to just showing it. And I think by letting it be something that you can just see as a reader as opposed to like making explicit kind of gives you that sort of gray area of not necessarily always knowing what's going on, which as a teenager, I never knew what was going on. So maybe I sort of like link those two things together.
So through your work, you've tackled a lot of tough topics like depression, suicide, also what it means to be a queer person in a straight environment. You know, why do you feel that it's important to tell these kind of stories?
I think it's important to tell every story. And I guess every writer just has their own obsession, their own like thing that they find the most interesting. So I think the imperfect life is something that I'm very interested in. Like all my experiences about being that sort of like strange queer person who like, you know, like when all my friends when they were young were like obsessed with like the boy that they would marry, I was like, I don't really want to do that. It was like, I guess the world is my oyster because I don't want to do that. So I think it just sort of was this sort of place that I was in as a person for a lot of my life. So it's sort of something that I've projected onto a lot of characters.
What has it been like to be an LGBTQ creator in an industry that's been slow to embrace the community and their characters? I mean, we're getting there, you know, finally, but it's been very, very gradual.
I guess the thing is you're just, you know, paying more attention to it. And I appreciate the sort of arc that queer characters in comics are taking from being this very sort of like covert thing where you just sort of imply, you know, like a certain kind of hero or like a certain kind of lifestyle in comic book characters to these like incredibly like overt things where you have like a lot of gay superheroes getting married. Gay superheroes getting married is like a big thing because it's a way of being like super, super gay is to get like two men in tuxedos, you know? And then I also appreciate, you know, that we're sort of moving from like the gay is like the butter on the pancakes as opposed to like gay pancakes. Like we're sort of evolving. So I think that as a queer creator, you're paying attention to that and like thinking about that a lot. Whereas I think that maybe if you weren't queer, maybe that it's like a passing thought for you, like every once in a while. Whereas I think about it like almost every day.
You talked about teen TV shows being one of your favorite things. Do you have any other really big influence on your work?
Oh, I mean, I have so many. Like I am the kind of nerd that like vowed to read certain books or like I vowed to read like all of Margaret Atwood's books when I was a teenager, which is a very nerdy thing to do. Yeah. And it was like dark outside. I think I like had my hand like pressed up against the window pane when I promised that. And I also am somebody who I rewatch The Dark Knight like maybe like every couple months just because I think it's amazing. So, and also, you know, cartoons, like I'm a big fan of Amazing Gumball, like everything. I think it's, and also just even, you know, like just general conversations I have with people and the sort of people in my life are a big inspiration for me. So I try to like, I mean, I think it's easy to kind of like close your area of influence so that you just keep watching the same. Like, I would just watch The Great British Bake Off. If that was allowed, I would probably just do that. But I try to like make sure that I'm constantly expanding, you know, my influences. Like, I just read this comic, My Boyfriend is a Bear.
That's awesome.
It's incredible. And I can't remember the illustrator now, but it was amazing. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's good. Like, to make yourself constantly make sure that you're reading more and books that you wouldn't necessarily have read, like, you know, like making sure new things are coming into your sort of sphere of influence all the time.
I would just like to know that I'm on my third rewatch of all of the Netflix Bake Off episodes.
Yeah,
because I watched the new ones on PBS and because I get them as screeners. So I watched all 10 in one weekend when I was sick. So, but that wasn't enough. So,
yeah. And I am in the unique position that I was able to fit my obsession with The Great British Bake Off into my She-Hulk, the second She-Hulk arc I wrote, was about like online baking celebrity because I was like, I have to find a way to use this thing that I know so much about.
Soggy bottoms, man.
So you mentioned earlier a little bit of what's going well in terms of LGBTQ representation in comics. Are there things that comics could be doing better, or are there stories that you feel like aren't being told enough that should be told?
I mean, there's always more stories that should be told. You know, like, I think that every time I'm on a panel that's like a LGBTQ panel, everybody has a request for more of their stories. Like, there's not necessary enough stories about, you know, trans characters or bi characters, or, you know, like, there even is this kind of, you know, like, genderqueer characters, all of those things. So as we're sort of more aware of the sort of diversity of our community, you want to see that reflected in comics. And I think also having creators, like having trans creators and having like characters that are representative of different parts of the community is always good for more stories and better stories.
You mentioned your love of The Dark Knight, and, you know, kind of really superheroes are everywhere in terms of TV and film adaptations and things. How do you feel about how these comic book properties have included or not included queer characters so far?
To me, it's kind of interesting because, you know, superheroes, so many of them are like wizards and mutants and aliens and deities. And it's like the idea that they're all straight just seems very odd to me. You know, like, if you're an alien, you know, who says that it's like, you know, wherever it is like Earth, where you're like, you grow up and then you're like, this is a boy and this is a girl and this is how this works. Like, there's no way that that works on every planet. So it seems interesting to me that no matter where you go, there's still this, like, you know, when a man loves a woman type of dynamic that's happening. So I think that there's, you know, it seems natural to me to eventually sort of broaden that space and have characters. And there are a lot of characters, like, you know, like Constantine or whatever, that are like, you know, I don't really care either way. And I think that that is, you know, that to me is a direction that makes more sense just in terms of what we're writing about.
So in terms of, you know, this sort of recent superhero boom, especially with the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the DC movies, you know, in the movies there hasn't, unless I'm totally missing something, there hasn't really been any LGBTQ characters to speak of. But then on their respective TV shows, on Jessica Jones, we have Jerry and Supergirl's sister, and then there's a couple other on the other Marvel and DC shows. Why do you think it's happening faster on TV than it is in the movies?
I mean, I think just in general, movies seem to move slower than TV in terms of diversity. Like, if you just sort of look even at who was making television versus who was making movies, I mean, I just imagine, like, the way I imagine it, having no experience working in movies, is that it's just like this giant ship that just takes so many people and so much money to move. People are doing sort of a cost analysis that is much sort of safer, or sort of like playing it safe, than maybe what you would do in television. Yeah, again, it doesn't really make much sense to me sort of plot-wise why they wouldn't have more characters. It's like, I just imagine that somewhere, like in both universes, there's just like a whole group of like queer superheroes who are also working really hard and just not getting any credit. You know, like, they're just like also like lifting buildings off of people and like, you know, shooting blue lasers and doing all kinds of stuff. And they're just like, one day someone will notice that we're also working really hard over here. And they just maybe like see like Iron Man like shooting overhead and they're just like, you know, but they're there. Obviously they're there. They're just like not on camera yet.
Is there anyone from the comics who's currently queer that you would love to see brought into a movie?
I think that it would be really cool to have Iceman be his, you know, queer self in a movie. I think that that would be super awesome. It's just like, at some point, it's just going to be, it's like I said, it's like an evolution. At some point, we're all just going to be like, oh yeah, well, at least this section of this group of people is queer. Like, I would love to have, like, Deadpool, like, talk about, like, an ex-boyfriend or something like that. But that seems like it might take a while.
I know J.K. Rowling came under a lot of fire when she always talked about Dumbledore being gay in, you know, in the books. But yet, I mean, there was a lot, you know, she got some flack for, like, the Dumbledore and the new Fantastic Beasts coming up, as they're not really kind of getting into his gayness. And I know Kevin Feige's talked now about, oh yeah, well, LGBTQ characters have been there the whole time, you just don't know about them yet. Does that kind of thing annoy you, where it's just like, when people talk about it, but they don't actually show it.
I mean, gosh, so many things annoy me. It's a long list.
Tell us all of them.
Yeah, tell us all of them.
I mean, I feel like the sort of idea that it's people say, well, it's there, but we just don't have to get into it, is kind of a safe, you know.
Yeah.
It's a pretty safe place to stay if you're just like, well, we're going to appease the queer community by saying, obviously, Dumbledore is gay, but we're going to appease the people that won't go see the movie if they know that he is gay by not putting any of that in there. So many horrible things happen in Harry Potter and to Harry Potter. It's really the worst thing in the world to see Dumbledore calling or like sending a letter to his boyfriend to say, like, I'm going to be late because all of this stuff is going down, you know, but I love you and take care of the dogs. Like, is that really going to like mess up a movie so bad? Like, I think, you know, someone has to take a chance, and then it will see, people will see that it's not a big deal.
So do you have any favorite queer pieces of pop culture outside of comics and superheroes? Are there any other shows or books or anything that are really your favorite?
Oh, I mean, I have so many. I have like, I mean, I'm a diehard RuPaul's Drag Race fan. So that's like my main, it's like my homo center is like that. But I also, like, I'm super old school. Like, I really love Harvey Fierstein's Torch Song Trilogy was, like, my sort of introduction into queer stories. So, I mean, I have so many. I just watched one episode of Pose.
Oh, my God, I love Pose.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, like, I was like, of course the show should exist. I mean, it's just, I mean, by, like, there's so much fabulous queer culture, you know. And when I went to RuPaul's Drag Race, the drag con, I would say nearly half of the people who were there in like lace front wigs and full makeup were like young girls. It's fabulous for everybody. Like, it has a special meaning to a certain community, but like, it's there for all to enjoy. And I think that that is, you know, that's the future. Like, I was like walking around drag con with all these little girls in drag, and I was like, this is the future. The future smells like blush and wig glue.
We're recording this before the RuPaul's Drag Race finale, and it will air after. But do you have any predictions, or do you have a favorite for who's going to win?
I was really a Ms. Cracker fan.
Aww.
So I was pretty heartbroken when Ms. Cracker was eliminated. I mean, I think that there has been a huge omission that a big girl has not ever won RuPaul's Drag Race. And so on that level, I'm rooting for Eureka. Also because I met her when I was at DragCon, and she was the nicest queen when I was there. So I hope she wins.
So you mentioned your She-Hulk run, which people can find in trades now, and you also did Supergirl for DC. What's coming up for you? What can fans look out for?
Well, I have a comic in the new DC imprint, DC Comics imprint, DC Inc. There's DC Inc., which is YA, and DC Zoom, which is middle grade. So I have a DC Inc. book called Harley Quinn Breaking Glass, which is with me and the illustrator Steve Pugh, who people might know from The Flintstones, which is also an incredible comic. I have a graphic novel coming out called Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me, which is a graphic novel about horrible girlfriends. And that's pretty much it. That is illustrated by Rosemary Valera O'Connell and is also out next year. And I am currently working on X-23 for Marvel with Monica Ball.
I know Harley's a really popular character. What do you really like about writing her?
I mean, she's very funny. It's very fun to write somebody who just does things because she wants to do something. Like, there's not a lot of internal conflict with a character like that. And as somebody who has like a lot of like, you know, anxiety over decisions, it's super fun to write somebody who's like, let's just go. Like, we're going now. So I love that. And also in the comic that I'm writing, Harley Quinn lives with this in this apartment full of drag queens.
Oh my God.
And so that has been very fun to write as well.
So I know that we've seen Harley on the big screen now as Suicide Squad, and there's been a lot of talk about her doing a spinoff film. What would you like to see from any kind of Harley movie spinoff?
I think the Harley story, especially the movie Harley story, is the story of her relationship with the Joker. And I'd like to see sort of just Harley being Harley. I mean, it's a character that has so many possibilities. It is this character who is beloved and also a villain. So I think that's a really great place to work from.
Is there any character that you're dying to write for?
I would love to try to find a way to write Wonder Woman, if there was like some leeway for, especially because this imprint gives you like a little bit of stretch in terms of your interpretation of characters. And I would like to see if there was a Wonder Woman story, because I was obsessed with Wonder Woman for so long. So I would love to find a way to write a Wonder Woman story, mostly because I've always wanted to write an invisible plane. Like the number of jokes to me that go with an invisible plane. So I'm hoping that happens at some point.
Where is she taking the invisible plane in your interpretation?
Well, just even like finding the invisible plane, like I was like, has nobody ever made a joke where you can't find the invisible plane? And you're like blowing sand off of your hand from a parking lot, like looking for your invisible plane. It just seems like there's so many things you could do with that. And I mean, Wonder Woman is a very serious character, so it's generally not played that way. But I mean, it's like with any superhero, they have this sort of otherworldly character. There tends to be sort of a seriousness to them, and I like sort of taking that and sort of messing with that a little bit. So, yes, there would be so many invisible plane jokes in the comic if I was allowed to do it. Maybe they'll never let me do that now that I've made that very clear. But I did, when I told them I wanted to do Supergirl, I told them I wanted to do a giant Kryptonian zit, and they were totally into that. So anything is possible.
Okay, I'm still stuck on the invisible plane. Would you do like the traditional invisibility, or is it like the Super Friends old school outline of a plane that's supposed to be invisible, but you can still see the outline of the plane?
I mean, I think to me, the thing that would be really interesting about it is that, like, I mean, it has to only be invisible on the outside and not on the inside, because otherwise you wouldn't, like, you know, like, so the control panels and stuff like that can't be invisible. Yeah. But I love, like, in drawings of it, it's like this kind of like broken outline, and then her sitting with like her hands like on steering wheel position, but there's no steering wheel.
It's so, like, she's pretending. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it would be funny also to have somebody who's asking her questions about the invisible plane. Like, yes. Was it always invisible? How did you make it invisible? Have you ever thought of just making it a visible plane? What's the real benefit of it being an invisible plane? Like, is there something that you specifically enjoy about it being invisible? Also, like, because there's this whole, you know, she's from this island, so it's like, isn't an island that just makes invisible things, and then the thing that they gave you at the end of it was like an invisible plane? I don't know. There seems like so much there, right? And so,
before we let you go, do you have an all-time favorite queer character in fiction? You know, comics or prose or movies, TV, anything?
I mean, obviously, like, my current favorite movie, because I'm a lesbian, is Carol. So that's, like, obviously way up there. The moment I discovered it was on Netflix, I was like, okay, so we're all going to be okay. All right. Carol's on Netflix. Everything's okay. In terms of, like, younger characters, like, I also write for The Lumberjanes, mm-hmm. Which is the camp for hardcore lady types. And there's two characters, Mal and Molly, who are, like, a couple. And just as somebody who, like, grew up queer and would never have had anything that, like, looked like a girlfriend when I was, like, a young kid at camp, I appreciate those characters a lot. And I'm really, really happy that they exist.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is really great. And look forward to reading your future projects, too.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, before we go, we want to hear from you. Who are your favorite LGBTQ superheroes on comics, movies, or TV? Hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is @MothershipPod. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm @BrettMolina23.
And I'm @KLals, K-L-A-W.
I'm Brian Truitt.
And you can find Mariko on Twitter. Her handle is @MarikoTamaki. Don't forget, you can email us too. We're @MothershipPod@USAtoday.com. That'll do it for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Special thanks to Mariko for being our guest this week. And thanks to our producer, Taylor Macon, the true pilot of The Mothership. If you like what you heard today and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts. And once you're there, why not leave us a rating or a review, because we love your feedback and it is always greatly appreciated. You can also find us on Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to a podcast, you will find us. And don't forget to join the Facebook group, Yes, I'm Still Watching, at facebook.com/groups/YesI'mStillWatching. You can also search for Yes, I'm Still Watching in Facebook if that is too much to remember, which is totally cool, guys. Until next time, nerds out.
Later.
Bye.